Well, I reacted immediately, and it was I immediately knew that I would be on the parents' side. I think Christopher's parents put it beautifully, really, in their interview, and I think that when you become a parent or a daughter of somebody who's seriously ill with cancer, you become a quasi-expert very, very quickly. Because
is the quasi bit a problem?
Well, obviously, this is. I work with oncologists and clinicians all the time, and you have to have that discussion with them. But to put it into context, when my mum was ill, I came to the oncologist with the treatment that I had, went to a specialist in America, which is what I say to all my patients. If you have a specific cancer, please join a forum in America. Find out what they're on, because they are ahead of us. And then look into it and see what your oncologist views it of it is. In Mum's case, I found out about these new kidney cancer drugs. He'd never heard of them. 3 years later, they are standard treatment in the UK. So this isn't about patients, families going off and coming up with ridiculous ideas. These are things sometimes oncologists are not going to be up to date with everything there is around. And as Aisha's parents did, they researched it, they looked into it. The proton beam therapy, I've researched it, is a standard therapy in America for Aisha's cancer.
And there are cases where children from this country on the NHS have been sent abroad for that kind of therapy.
But I know that 400, I don't know whether they're children, but 400 have been funded through the NHS. Since 2008 to go and have proton beam therapy.
So it's difficult to know what's happened in Aisha's case, but if it's deemed not applicable for a patient, is the senior medic treating a patient the final word on the subject?
Well, yes and no.
It appears not.
What's interesting with this case is when I was researching it last night for today, in this country, you have to apply. There is a specialist proton beam commissioning board in the UK. It is that much, you know, they want you to have it. So their experts, his clinicians, applied to that board for Aisha, and it got rejected. Now, I don't have the details of that, but
so
why it was rejected.
Surely the rest of us have to take that for face value, don't we?
No, because that's what I do. I appeal those sorts of decisions every day.
Why would that decision be made for anything other than clinical reasons?
Sometimes it's financial, sometimes there's different circumstances. There's many, many reasons why things are refused and can be overturned.
Should financial ever come into it? I mean, if something is appropriate for a patient who needs it...
Well, I think not.
The NHS... doesn't have a bottomless pit, though, does it?
No, I think that there is always that debate, obviously. But I think what's important to say with that, Aisha's clinicians had said, you know, he shouldn't have this treatment. Well, they shouldn't have applied for it then. Do you see what I mean? They applied for that treatment for Aisha. They can't then say it's not applicable, it won't be clinically effective for him, otherwise they shouldn't have applied for it. So I work with clinicians too. If they agree that it will clinically benefit, then please apply. There are things that we have. So in this country, what I'd like to say to your listeners is, if you have a treatment that you have seen or your oncologist has mentioned but said, oh, it's very hard to get hold of, we have the Cancer Drugs Fund that we obviously campaign very hard for. They can apply to that. And every local trust has something called an individual funding panel. And you can go, you can ask to apply to the individual funding panel for extra funding for your treatment due to exceptional circumstances, which could be many, many reasons. That's why it's very hard. That's why they're individual. They have to look at the individual's case.
How are we supposed to know all these things, Kate?
Well,
without the benefit of the hindsight that you have now, you know, when as Aisha's parents were presented with this thing, you know, one of your many children is gravely ill.
I know. This is what's hard. And I think for me, well, you have to find odd people like me that spend their lives looking at meeting notes and finding policies. And, you know, there's not many of us about. So I think it's, I reacted to Mum's illness by becoming an expert very, very quickly. And then I went into commissioning. And now, obviously, I'm 7 years on. So that's my thing. I know all about commissioning and how it's done. But yes, when you're faced with that, how on earth would you begin to do that? And it took me 9 months, and I lost Mum. I think if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have lost Mum. So that was obviously something I've had to deal with. But I can use that knowledge now to help others. and to make sure they don't. So please, I want to say, if anybody out there is struggling with access to treatment, please contact me at the Pamela Northcott Fund. I've just started Twitter, and I'm at Campaign Kate. So please come and find me, and I will help you all I can to advise, because it is very, very hard to negotiate the system.
Do consultants that you come into contact with, Kate, secretly applaud your work?
Yes.
Or do they think,
initially they think, oh, she's a nightmare. And then after a few phone calls, we get on very well. And it helps them, because they've got a go-between. Because a lot of them are having to be administrators and fighters for their patients. And they need to do their clinical work.
So they're frustrated by the system as well.
Oh, goodness me, yes. Absolutely.
So this is not our kind of old-fashioned image of consultants as, I know best, I will tell you exactly what is right for your son, daughter, mother, husband, whatever, I won't listen to any other points.
Some are like that, but what happens is they know they can't be like... I mean, they call it the age of the educated patient, and that's what a lot say in any sort of debate on the issue. And clinicians have had to adapt, and questions will be asked. I was an advocate for a teenage cancer patient just 2 weeks ago, and an oncologist said, why are you asking me these questions? It's none of your business. So we do still have that scenario. But once you keep going and they understand you are both working for the best outcome for that patient, then generally, you know, I get on very, very well with them, and it helps them to be able to refer patients to me so they don't have to get involved. As long as they clinically want the patient to have it, I do all the fight and the admin for it, which...
Okay.
That's how it works.
Just looking at this from the outside, looking in, as many of us are with Asher King's case, Kate, what do you make of the actions of taking him out of the hospital? I think that's still a big question in people's minds. Is it the case that once somebody's diagnosed with cancer, the treatment gets underway so quickly, you have that steep learning curve, as we heard from Kevin and Karen a few minutes ago as well, and as you get to learn more, perhaps it's gone past the stage where the initial operation has happened, and then you find these other things, because they took him out of hospital after, obviously they would have needed to agree to have the initial brain tumour operation. So your thoughts on that?
Very hard to give an opinion on that. There were people, and it sounded from the interview that I watched that they had done on YouTube, they believed he was having no active treatment at that time, which was panicking them. So Aisha was just being fed, I think, and kept, you know, just in hospital on a feeding regime, and they were desperate to get him on active treatment. That was my understanding to it. So I think this is a family in absolute, panic and wanting to do the best. They've seen this treatment. They've seen it been used. Imagine the frustration of being told, oh, you can't have it. So I can imagine it must have been a terrible, terrible situation to be in, and then obviously they've done everything they can by ordering all the feeding, etc., on the internet. So it's very hard to judge unless you have a very, very poorly little baby in a hospital and you've been told that they can't have the treatment.
A situation that is probably unfathomable until it actually happens to you. As we speak now, Kate, Asher is finally on that plane to Prague, where he'll be assessed. But it's been a very odd route to get there, and you know, the potential to danger to his life was, you know, apparent to all of us, wasn't it? To take him out of hospital, ferry trip, drive down through France to Spain.
I think, well, it's, as I say, I really can't comment on it, because it's, we don't know the situation they're in. We don't know the panic they were in. What I know is this is a family that should not be punished. That I know. This is obviously a family in real, real turmoil, and doing everything they can for their little boy, and they felt that they had the safety. I don't want to comment on it, because I feel for them so much, and I feel that it's been dealt with so badly. No family that's going through that should ever have had the police and et cetera going into it. I think it's appalling, and I think it should never, ever happen again. It was just so cruel. And they need all the support they can get, and let's just hope that this is... he'll be assessed, and let's hope that obviously it's going to take the team there to assess him and to say yes, he will clinically benefit.
Or no, then, he won't. That's the potential as well.
This is what I mean. They're not going to just give him this treatment.
Yeah.
They are obviously highly expert in Prague, and they will know whether it's going to benefit him or not. So, you know, I think in those cases, you have to leave it to the clinicians at that point with Aisha, because they are going to make the right decision, I'm sure, for him.
Okay. Not that the team here weren't trying to make the right decision for him,
absolutely,
I'm sure as well.
Okay, absolutely.
Kate, thank you very much indeed. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.